Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Hello, everyone. Feels very strange in the studio today. I've got Axel with me and no Zoe. It's a funny old time at the moment, isn't it? I'm on the tube on the way in, there's literally nobody there. Me and Axel had our rubber gloves on. But anyway, I just wanted to introduce our next guest. We chatted to Louise a couple of weeks ago. She was a fantastic guest, somebody who I grew up watching on like fashion segments, a good friend of Zoe's, and we just wanted to have a good chat to her about what life is like now she's back in the UK. I think she's been back in the UK for about 6 months or something like that, so not long at all, and what bringing up her daughter Honor is like. So let's just get to it.
So what a treat today is.
I'm still eating my croissant.
So the woman sitting opposite us today left us 10 years ago to go and complete world domination, which she did. She absolutely smashed it over in Los Angeles. She's now back here. She's mum to Honor. She's a dear friend of mine. And you won't find a better dressed woman.
Aww.
It's Louise Rowe.
Yay.
Such a lovely intro.
I'm known for them, actually.
Yes,
are you?
Is.
Oh, so everyone gets
oh,
that.
Oh, no,
today.
No, no,
no. Just you.
I want that as my phone ring. You won't find a better dressed woman.
It's J-Lo.
Thank you.
Lou, thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
It's just so lovely because all the time that you were living in America, I was saying to Georgia, we've got to get Lou, we've got to get Lou. And then you were like, I guess what? I'm moving back. So welcome back to the UK. How does it feel being back?
Very wonderful. I spent, as you said, over a decade in LA, and you came out to visit a lot. It's such a great place. It did amazing things for my career. You know, my husband's English, but we did meet while I was there, and it was time to come back. It was the end of a chapter. I didn't want it to get to the point where I didn't like LA anymore, because I was starting, I just missed England, everything, even the rain, the pubs, the people, my mates, family, countryside, the buzz of London. I could go on, and even I think you appreciate things, the history of it, which LA doesn't really have, and the culture of Europe on your doorstep, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So long-winded answer, very happy.
No, we want
back.
Long-winded answers,
yeah,
on
definitely.
The podcast, please.
True.
Do you think you wanted to come back to the UK when you became a mum?
Well, it's funny, lots of people have said that, but I was feeling it way before, so
oh, okay.
I think it definitely compounded the fact, but I was already on that road, and we were kind of house hunting online for a long time, and weirdly the house we ended up buying we'd seen and really liked online a year and a half before that. Then it disappeared and we thought, oh, it got sold, but it hadn't. They took it, I don't know what they did, they took it off the market for a bit or whatever. But it's so strange, I feel like,
yeah,
the older I get, the more fate seems to work its hand.
Isn't it lovely
Yeah.
Listen, I want to talk about, you know, your move back to the UK, but I would like to go back to the time when you were living in LA, because you had a really, really kind of proper showbiz lifestyle, like red carpets, Oscars, Emmys. Just talk us through like those years and what they were like for you.
Yeah, so I started out as a journalist. I worked at Vogue.com as their news editor. This is in London before I left. And then, I mean, because I'm 100 years old, this is when when web TV just started. And I hosted Vogue TV. Cut to that led to going to cover the Oscars, and that led to moving there. I'm shortening the story. But I ended up hosting hosting a show on MTV called Plain Jane, a makeover show with a big heart to it.
Yeah.
My husband was the director.
I loved it. It was great.
It lasted about 5 seasons, which in today's telly age, that's a lot. And then I did lots of other shows out there, but most of them had a fashion edge to them. I wrote quite a few different fashion columns, Glamour magazine, which is now gone.
I know, sad all the magazines have gone.
I love leafing through a mag. It's not the same as scrolling. Anyway.
No, I hope it will come back, actually.
Well, I think some, I don't think Vogue will ever die, but the weeklies do quite well, actually.
We were talking about this yesterday, that do you think our grandkids are going to sit down one day and go, you know, be having their sort of history lesson at school, and the teacher's going to come out and be like, right, well, your grandparents had this thing called Instagram. And,
know.
You know, the paper magazines went and they were just looking online, scrolling. Like, do you think that's going to be a thing? I really hope it is, actually.
Because I think you always think your generation is we are at the forefront of technology, but it's good to have perspective and realise that is not going to be cool. And it makes me laugh because I think, like, in the same way we've slightly rejected things like Facebook, it will probably happen with Instagram. There's always going to be something new. And it's funny because I know most kids are obsessed with phones, but I do talk to parents. There are a lot that aren't interested in them. And a friend was saying, she's not actually a parent, but it was such an interesting point. She said, actually, it's the one thing that takes you away from your child is your phone. And so it's sort of not surprising that perhaps they look at it with a bit of disgust in a way, because they are, it's like, well, that's mum, it's me or the phone. I want mummy's attention, you know. And I don't know, I'd be interested and kind of delighted if generation slightly turned their back on it, because it's taken over.
I always think of a magazine as a real treat now.
Me too.
So I'll put my phone away and I'll sit down and I'll have a magazine and like a cup of tea.
Me too.
And it's a proper treat. Yeah. So then maybe that will come back around and people will start to think of it as more of a luxury.
Yeah,
or
reading a book. I mean, goodness me.
I literally haven't read a book since before Luna was born.
And I love doing it. Oh. But audiobooks have gone through the roof.
Yes.
And I think it's very interesting because people, obviously, there's an appetite to hear things that are potentially fictional when the news is a bit depressing.
Yeah.
We kind of turn away from that. And podcasts too. I think it's a lot more of an intellectual, intelligent discussion than what you might see on reality TV. I think that's you learn a lot more from podcasts and audiobooks.
Yes, you do, especially this one.
is the one I'm modelling my chat on. Yes.
So you decided to have a baby, and you guys were obviously living over there in Los Angeles. And, you know, because of the world that you were living in over there, what was that pressure like for you? Because you've always been very leafy, you know, kind of, you've got this incredible body. I'm looking at you now and I'm like, she's just tall, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And
says she.
No, but I mean, as in, like, you just... Yeah, you've got an incredible, incredible figure. And how did you find that process of going through the change during pregnancy?
Thank you. It's funny, as you're talking, I'm just remembering two memories with you.
Oh, God!
One, when you were secretly pregnant and you stayed at my house and I saw you. And then we were outside and I was like, there's a bump there. And then you were like,
was that when I just finished hiking the Grand Canyon? I couldn't tell anyone.
Probably.
And I was 14 weeks pregnant.
Yes, you were. And you were in a really cute little jumpsuit. And it was silk. So silk shows everything.
Yes.
I was like, that's Zoe. She's always got flat abs. Something going on.
They caught me on the trek because obviously in the early days of pregnancy, well, throughout the whole pregnancy, you just need a wee, don't you, all the time?
Yes.
And I just couldn't tell anyone.
By the way, that doesn't go away.
Never goes away.
Constantly wee.
We'll talk about the pelvic floor a bit later on.
Yeah.
You clocked it, didn't you?
Yeah. And then another time, you weren't pregnant and we went to Barry's boot camp, which is arguably the toughest workout ever. And it was such a mean instructor who's really strict. And he literally couldn't speak. He was so impressed by how fast you were running. So if we're going to talk about Zoe takes the biscuit.
Oh God, that was a highlight
demon.
For me.
Like Linford Christie.
Bloody hell! This woman in class the other day was like, "I'm not running next to you again."
No,
she never met me before. No. I was like, "Oh, well, it's so nice to meet you. I'm Zoe." Hello.
I wouldn't either. I was 10. I was up the other end, dying.
Our first encounter on a treadmill was you jumping off because you needed a win.
Exactly.
If you'd have run faster, I probably wouldn't be your friend.
That's the only way you can get her. Feed her loads of liquid before.
No, it was literally just after we'd had Luna and Axel. And I was like, "Let's get on the treads." And it was the first time I'd ever run since having the baby. Yeah. And I was like, myself.
Yeah, I
mortified. So go on, back to you. Don't deflect.
I did a good deflection there. Figure and stuff. I think being in that city made me more English and more protective of my nearest and dearest and keeping my roots and not, you see people spiral off into that Hollywood glam. And yes, I did do all those red carpets, you know, as you've done, and go to great parties, but that's all they ever were. Mm. You can't buy into that. It's, you've got to see it for what it is, enjoy it, appreciate it. I remember going to the Oscars. I think I went, actually, I went two or three times in the end. But on the first time, I was like, this might never happen again. You know, pinch yourself, because it's too easy to start floating away. I don't know. But anyway, I had my family. My mum and dad came to stay for ages after I gave birth. I mean, the only thing I will say is I did give birth and I could see the Hollywood sign. And if we have another it won't be quite the same.
What was your labour like?
I did a whole YouTube video on it, actually. It was... it's funny because when I went to a talk at the hospital to sort of, you know, you do try and do your research, and it was this male maternity nurse who was hilarious, and he said nobody ever has a normal birth. Everyone has to talk about the fact that it was either an emergency and scary and terrifying, or it literally you coughed and it came out. And I was like, that's a very good point. People do tend to extreme their stories.
Yeah.
So I was quite keen, especially because a lot of my followers are pregnant or have been pregnant, to be honest, and but it was pretty normal. It was fast. I thought I had Braxton Hicks and I was actually in labour. And so they always say, oh, you know, if don't waste your time, don't go to the hospital too early. So I got in the shower and washed my hair, because that's what they'd said to do, like distract yourself.
And shave.
And eat because, oh yeah, and eat because you won't get to eat again. So I'm trying to put toast down. Anyway, I got back into bed, and the other thing they say doesn't happen, it's only in the movies, is that your water breaks dramatically. It's like only in Father of the Bride.
The gush.
But that I did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So I was like, all this is bullshit. I am in labour. My water's just completely broke. And I was like, right, not Braxton Hicks, babe. And it's quite, my husband's quite funny. He's always joking around. And he literally hadn't packed his bag. And I was a bit furious because obviously I'm the one in labour and I packed mine ages ago. And he looked at me, well, not packed his bag. He goes, what shall I wear? I was in full
about you,
labour. At this point, it was like, you know, every 3 minutes. It was quite, you know. And he later kind of explained that he'd heard that if you wear a really bright colour, it can be quite distracting when someone's in pain. And I was like, listen, whatever. We all know it's because you want to look cool. And so, yeah, then we rushed to the hospital, which was very, very near. And I did go in straight into like a wheelchair and rushed to the front and got an epidural. And Honor was born, gosh, like 2 hours later. It was quick.
Did you always plan to have an epidural?
Yes, I did. Yeah. My doctor, who I became mates with, she's awesome. And that's one big thing I miss about being back here. I will miss her, is she used to spend twice a year, go to really poor communities in Africa and charitable work, deliver babies. And she said, you know, they don't have the option there. Like, you have the choice, you have the technology. I wouldn't do surgery on you or on anyone without having some kind of pain relief. Mm. And anything I say here, I want to say there's no judgment. If people don't want to have it, that's amazing. Yeah. And actually all go for you, because I could not, I don't have the guts for that, but it's amazing when women do. But for me, I was like, I want all the help I can get. Mm. I don't know what this pain's going to feel like. It's my first baby and I'm a bit scared. So
in that, Lou. I've had two.
I had one, and then the other time I thought I was going to have one, but there wasn't time.
So. Really? See, they're so interesting. People say that there's no time. And I said that on the day, because I was like, hurry up, because I knew things were happening fast. And the guy goes, as long as you can sit still, I can do this. It doesn't matter how late. So I was like, well, that's interesting. That's not what I'd always heard.
Yeah, I think maybe over here they sort of try and put you off having one. Because I think that's what happened with me. They tried to put me off having one. They said they had to take my blood and then they had to go away and check it was okay.
Really?
And then she was born in that time. So
I know. Well, it's funny because I was like, I can feel ahead. And at this point, my doctor wasn't there yet. And they were like, they almost looked at me like, oh, God. Here we go. And then there was someone on duty who could check, and she said, oh yes, no, you're right, okay,
I can see your head, I can see your head.
I mean, well, whatever it was, I was fully dilated and ready to push, and she said, your doctor's just cycling to the hospital, because she's on a bike ride nearby. So she biked furiously to the hospital, and when she came in, she still had a helmet mark on her head. And I think by then, because the epidural was in full flow, we laughed, and I didn't expect to do that in labour. But at the end of this is how quick it was. She still had the helmet mark on her head when Honor was born.
The imprints.
It's just funny, the things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's not the actual helmet.
I'm just going to keep this on for protection, okay? In case things go wrong down there. Yeah. And then Honor was born.
Yeah, so it was a positive experience. Great. It really was. I was very lucky, but I think it doesn't always have to be scary. Mm. And I feel like people spread scary stories, so I want to spread some nice ones too.
Yeah, no, I was the same first time around, and that's how I felt. It wasn't anywhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be because of what everyone tells
you. I do feel it's important though to get all of the information. Like I think the first time round, people were not telling me the stories, and I was like, I'm the person that has to know the stories.
Yeah, so did I. I had the opposite. Everyone telling me all the horror stories,
and I was like, listen, I have it in my tummy. It's not going. I'm going to end up in labour, so can you just not?
But I was so hell bent on having it a certain way, and I think that's really indicative of my personality. Anyway, I'm a Scorpio. I'm very, very stubborn. I'm very passionate, and I like to know that I'm in control of things. So I had this plan, and when the plan went tits up, I was freaking out because I just didn't know how to get off the plan. I wish somebody had said to me, just tear the plan up.
You can't have one.
You can't have one.
I think I'm same as you character-wise, Saggy, but maybe someone along the way had said, there's no point. Yes, you can write out your birth plan, but really, that's pointless because you have to just go with what the doctor says on the day. Or what, you know, whatever you think on the day, whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. And recovery?
Yeah, I think I was just going with the flow and slow and steady and not racing to get back in the gym. I thought I would be more obsessed with getting back in shape. Again, I wrote a long piece about this on my blog because I think it before that I had felt like, you know, being fit and slim was important and all these clothes you have to wear. And now I genuinely from the bottom of my heart, it's really nice to just not care. And
it's all about mental
health. It's really interesting,
isn't
it?
It's all about the mind. There's not aesthetics any longer. No. Like we just cannot get caught up in how we look.
Yeah.
We have to feel mentally strong to be able to deal with it.
Yes. And there's someone else more important than you in the world now. And that is what I think was the change. It's perspective. It's like, well, nothing matters apart from this little bean. And as long as they're healthy, you know.
And did you get any baby blues?
Weirdly, I did. But when she was about a year old, and that I Googled because I was like, well, this can't be postnatal depression because surely that happens right after. I found breastfeeding pretty easy physically, but it was hard from a logistical point of view. I wasn't that comfortable doing it publicly, so I would always sort of race home or try and go somewhere private. And
what was that about, do you think?
What, not doing it publicly? I've never really thought about, I don't know, other than I just didn't feel comfortable, and that's okay too.
But do you think it was because you were worried about what people were going to say, or do you think it was more about you and your body?
Me? Oh, not body, just although I do things in the public eye, I'm quite a private person. Mm. And so I think that's linked to that. But since then, I've seen so many of these pods at airports and places that either I didn't notice or they didn't exist. Mm. And that's great. I hope those continue to expand because it is funny. So not to get too sort of feminist high horse, but if men had to breastfeed, we would have a whole other law about how many rooms there needed to be per square mile, you know, every office.
And it would be different.
And
it
would. And it's still quite rare that an office has a nursing room or anything like that.
I remember with Luna, when I started breastfeeding, I had quite a difficult time with her. She wouldn't latch properly. And I think, you know, my nipples were so chafed and so sore, but I was determined to do it. I wanted to do it. And I remember every time I left the house, I felt anxious and stressed. And I think a lot of mothers go through this. If it's not if it doesn't click on just like that, you know, that it is a real process to kind of get comfortable with it and for her to understand what to do. And anyway, I remember one of my friends bought me this beautiful mustard muslin, and I used to go out to these places. I'd be like, right, I'm going to do it. And I used to try and get my boob out, and the muslin was over, and my friend was like, you know, you look like a mustard ghost. So I was the whole time during the pregnancy, all right, it's a mustard ghost, how's the mustard ghost getting on? Because I'd be like wailing underneath this muslin, like, come on. And the minute I just took the muslin off and just went, fuck it, here's my tits. This is what's going to happen in the coffee shop. I just did it everywhere. I was just like, okay. And it was really
amazing.
Liberating.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Maybe next time round I'll give it a go because I think I'm so in support of that becoming more normalised. So I should at least try myself to do it. I think it's ridiculous that it's a taboo.
Yeah,
it literally,
I know.
It couldn't be more of a necessity, not just a natural thing, but like babies need to eat at a certain time. There's no like, oh, hold on.
that's that.
Exactly. No, I didn't feel comfortable either time. Like, even second time round, when we've spoken to loads of people about how fine it, you know, you can do it anywhere, absolutely. But I didn't feel comfortable with it either time.
No.
I don't know why. It's weird, isn't it?
But if people do, they should go for it. And I think it should be more normalised. I mean,
hugely. Of course. Absolutely.
I only had one. Generally, I had really positive experiences with it. But there was one time where there was an old boy and we were sitting in a coffee shop and I could just see him getting very uncomfortable. And then I just heard him going, disgraceful. Yeah.
Oh,
and I
sad.
And I basically stood up in this coffee shop with Luna on my boob. This was in Cheltenham.
Oh wow.
And I went, what do you want me to do? Not feed my baby? And I said, if you don't like it, you can leave in front of everyone. And I was like, yes, people were like that. God, I mean,
good for you, Zoe.
He got up and left.
He did.
Good. Yeah, he got up and left.
And he was probably best read as a baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course he was. Yeah. They all were back in the day. It's really sad that people still have that view about it. And people do have a view about
it. Yeah, they do.
You hear horror stories, don't you, in restaurants where people are sitting there and people don't want to sit next to a breastfeeding mother.
They ask to move.
Establishments ask them. Those women at the outdoor swimming pool they were on this morning, they got asked to leave.
Oh dear.
I mean,
really?
There has to be a huge movement on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're trying. But I think it's also usually very discreet. You have to be really staring at somebody to even notice. Like, there was a lady doing it on the train this morning. I didn't notice till about half an hour in. You know?
And just, so what if, even if someone gets their whole boob out, it's just a boob.
Mm.
Most people have seen a boob before. It's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
Is it?
Like, no,
really
is. Of course not.
I know, I'm telling myself this, but at the time
will always be a big deal to boys forevermore. I mean, that I don't think will change.
So we're going to be back with our lovely guest just after this.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Now, let's pick up where we left off with our wonderful guest.
How long did you breastfeed for?
About 7 months. And I would have done it a bit longer, but and this is a good tip actually, we came to London and the jet lag and time change really messed up my rhythm. And I think I didn't drink enough water and it actually really reduced the milk supply without me wanting it to.
Yeah.
So Honor was hungry at different times and my boobs weren't in sync with that. And I should have drunk way more. Anyway.
Way more water,
yeah.
You're going to say.
Way more water. And she also had a growth spurt at exactly the same time. And so I wasn't able to provide enough. So we kind of did the changeover formula. But
how did you feel about that?
Really emotional.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that. I felt really... like we were losing a bond, which of course we weren't. But then a good friend, and I think that's an important time to speak to mum friends, because she was like, listen, you will feel emotional. There's a lot of hormonal change going on, but give it a week and you'll feel quite free. And I did, because you're not tied so much to this clock, you know.
Did you feel all right when you did feel all right when you stopped, didn't you?
Yeah, so with Axel, I didn't do it for very long. So I think I stopped because every time he wanted feeding, I literally felt like anxious. You know, if he'd wake up, I'd be like, oh no, please don't wake up, please don't wake up.
Right.
You know, like, because I really, really hated it.
Right.
And then second time, it actually was going all right. But I'm just not made for, obviously I'm made to do it, but I just don't feel like it's... something I particularly enjoy. No, and, that, and maybe and it's selfish, but...
No, yeah. It's God, not it's selfish. So far from that. I think if you're, imagine dreading something and it can be painful and difficult and, you know, I think it's so important to do what works for you. That's so important.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned that you sort of started to feel blue after about a year.
Yes.
So how, what played into that?
It was more anxiety than... depression, although I think depression can take so many different forms. And I would feel anxious about little things. And I still do. I think in general, I'm an anxious person and I'm working on that all the time. And, you know, even yesterday I was talking to a mutual friend about like natural things that can help with that. And I've realised that if I have more than one coffee a day, it makes me feel jittery. and I'm thinking maybe I'll just do decaf because... And it sounds so silly and menial, but I think like I haven't exercised since we got back. That's 5 months ago. That helps. And I think that it was probably a mix of things, but I definitely would be driving around. And if I took Honor out on my own, I was like, oh, everything just worried me. And I would, you know, be very teary. And the sorts of things that I thought would come earlier
came
when she was a year old, but apparently it can do.
Yeah, it's very common.
Yeah,
actually.
And I didn't have any family around. And I think that was... I needed my mum, really, you know.
Yeah.
How was Mackenzie during that period? Because it's quite hard as the partner to know how to support if, you know, you didn't really know what was going on. How is he supposed to kind of understand it? So what was that like?
Definitely. I think, and also he's one of those guys who everything, he's so chill and everything, nothing phases him. And so then I sort of feel a bit silly sometimes. But it is different, I think, for a mum versus a dad. I know that's a controversial thing to say, but there's a lot more going on even hormonally.
Yeah.
And I think we dismiss, I remember Pandora Sykes once saying, gosh, we dismiss hormones like, you know, oh God, PMS. But they are the most powerful chemicals that exist.
Yeah.
And so it's very real when you're being reduced to tears or feeling like, you know, your heart's racing, whatever. And so my husband's amazing and definitely open to listening. But I think guys still go, what's wrong? Because they need to
have solutionists.
A very practical answer. Yes. Well, this is what's wrong. It happened at 10:30 today, and this is how we shall solve it. Whereas it's not that. It's so much more fluid and not always an answer there. So I think, yes, solution not always available.
I think it's absolutely key in those moments to be able to talk to your partner.
Yeah.
The minute you stop talking, even about, you know, I've had a really tough time recently with my hormones and, you know, my periods have been really out of sync and, you know, they were speeding up and then I didn't get one for 45 days and I had all these tests done. And I remember this weekend before actually my period came on the Monday and I went absolutely bananas. I just had no control over my hormones. I was screaming and crying and lashing out and being awful. And Dozer was like, I just don't know how much more I can take of this. Like, when are you going to come back to me? It just makes me so emotional to even think about that moment. He wasn't saying I'm going to go, but it was it's very hard for them to get into our heads. And I said, look, we need to talk about this. You need to know exactly how I'm feeling because I feel very out of control and I feel really sad and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I spoke about it on Instagram, but I think a lot of mothers go through it because you don't have anything for you. You know, you're doing everything you did before, but then you've got these humans to look after and you've got a house to run, a career to do. And it's like, what the fuck about me? What about me? Yeah. You know, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm just listening to what you're saying and it's so spot on. And I think sometimes you can't even process your thoughts. And I feel like when I was going through that, when Honor was a year, I actually made a list because I like to write things down. Or it might be that you can talk to a girlfriend before you talk to your partner just to try and, because otherwise it can come out like verbal diarrhea and you don't make that much sense. And so sometimes it is good to talk to a girlfriend first. Or like I did this list of stuff I knew made it worse and things I knew made it better. Even simple classical music calms me down. You know that sleep's a big one. Yeah. So even if it's a nap, which isn't ideal or hard to do, but whatever it is, an extra hour a night, or you do that thing where no emails come through to you after 7, there are practical things that you can do that can help. And it might be a glass of red wine. Who cares?
Or 7. A good idea.
It is.
I know.
Yeah,
actually,
7.
When you ask me for my list of like baby favourites, I'm adding red wine to that.
Talking of baby favourites, before we get into our products, because I'm really annoyed that we haven't got more time to talk to you because I just absolutely loved it, but you'll have to come back on. We our new thing that we're doing this series is we're asking our guests to tell us the best piece of advice that they've ever been given, or a piece of advice that they would pass on to a new mum, someone who's going to be a mother.
I know you asked me to prepare this, and I'm just thinking, I thought of loads of things, because I think that you can have very practical stuff. Like one very glamorous Hollywood wife told me to take a bottle of avocado oil into the delivery room to give to the doctor because it stops you from tearing.
Oh my God, really? Oh, I thought it was a gift. I thought you were like, I thought you were going to say because they all love avocado oil.
Very difficult to get hold of.
They'll give you special treatment.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thanks. I'll just get the great luxury salad out of that.
So you rub it on your vagine. Yeah. Oh, you're calling it a vagine.
Whatever you like. And so, and the doctor does it. So that's pretty funny. I did buy the bottle and I never ended up taking it in.
You just used it on your salad.
Avocado.
I was like, this is too good for
me.
This should have been for my fanny, but no, it's for my prawns.
Enjoy that. So that the sort of practical stuff. And then, I mean, I know everybody probably says this, but just give yourself a break because, you know, it's, and also think short term. Sometimes it can seem like such a massive, when you're in a bit of a blue or there's a day where you're just surrounded by screaming and nappies, it like just get through to the next day. Don't worry about next week, next month, next year. You just take it little by little. And I think having short-term goals is really important when it all gets too overwhelming. And just, you know, yes, don't give yourself a hard time. Like, you're all doing amazingly. We're all in this together. And it is bloody hard for everybody, no matter who you are. Because I think if you're the working mum, you feel guilty and like you're not there enough for your baby. If you're the stay-at-home mum, you're thinking, well, hold on, should I be working and doing more? You're never going to get it right. And another girlfriend, actually, she's got two kids and she does what I do, but in LA, and she said, people talk about this word balance, but actually balance is very fleeting in a good way. You might get balance for an afternoon or a day and brilliant, well done. Nobody nails balance for life. There's no secret recipe to it. So once you take that in and stop trying to find it, you know, you kind of let go a bit and just take the moments for what they are.
I love that.
Yeah, I do. I think taking each day as it comes is a great piece of advice. Because you do. You often worry, don't you? Oh, well, what if they're not sleeping by 8 months and I've got this to go to and I'm not going to be able to cope? Whereas really, you literally just take it day by day because no day is the same.
No. We say, you know, in those early days that even if you you just get out of your pyjamas and put your tracksuit on, it's a win. It's like you've actually changed out of one clothes.
True.
You might not even have had a shower that day, and that's fine too. Yeah. And if you make it to the shops, you're a fucking
hero. You are, yeah.
And then we'll talk about the park next week. Although
exactly.
I fucking hate the park.
I'm not a massive park fan.
It's so boring. I don't get it.
Especially in the rain.
Oh, God. You see all these other parents like zombies like, oh, let's go on the crocodile. No, don't want to go on the crocodile.
I love you. Oh, I've missed you.
Products.
Products, yeah. So what are your top
five? I've got the full scale of like from a couple of treaty ones to cheaper. Dry nights, you know those throwaway sheets, they're meant to be used for under the sheet on the mattress.
Yes.
Well, actually, doctor friends of ours said, if you buy a pack, they are brilliant for one in the nappy bag. Because you know when you are changing them, you often get changing mats that are material, like that you carry with you, and you put. But then you're reusing it. And I do think changing, when you pull down those plastic changing places, they're sort of quite filthy, no matter where you are, on a plane or in a restaurant. So dry nights are actually brilliant if you cut them in half and use those on
the
changing.
That is
good
great.
Hack. Yeah. And you can use them more than once, but, and you know, three times or so.
Yeah.
And then so at the other end of the scale, a couple of brands I just love. There's Amaya, which, and just for their little knitted stuff. I actually shop in the boys' department for Honor quite a lot because they do better jumpers everywhere. But Amaya in particular, they've got these gorgeous Fair Isle prints, and I'm really sort of traditional in that sense. So that's the treat. There's another brand for cold weather stuff, you know, really lovely bonnets and coats for the snow or the rain is Il Gufo. That's lovely.
I love that very fancy brand.
Yeah. And then I love Dr. Brown's bottles. For me, they're amazing. The glass ones are brilliant. I mean, this looks, again, do what you like. But I did get a bit scared about warming up plastic bottles, because you just read about the sort of chemicals that get released when plastic heats up and not putting them in the dishwasher and stuff. So glass bottles from Dr. Brown's are brilliant, and they last a lot longer. So
well,
I really
didn't even
like
know
those.
They did glass bottles, Dr.
Yeah,
Brown's.
Yeah, they do. And they're not heavy, so you can still take them out and travel with them.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And then there's this really, this is a good gift idea. There's this brand called Gigi New York.
Gigi!
Yeah! Love that! And they do, and they're not too expensive, leather-bound children's books that you can get their name put on.
Oh.
It's a lovely present. So I got on a Mary Poppins and Peter Rabbit.
Oh,
and so the cover is still the cover, but it's in leather with, you know, their initials or whatever. And I'm sure they do a pleather option as well for the vegans and stuff.
Yeah. That is a lovely gift.
That's really special and something that you can have forever.
I knew you'd come with some really great ideas.
Were they okay?
Yeah, just brilliant.
Different and brilliant.
Yeah, really, really
love
lovely.
Them. And red wine, ladies.
A lovely bottle of Malbec every day.
Oh, that's my favourite.
Oh, of course it.
Love it.
We're going to hit the pub soon, Lou.
I was just reading an article that the price of wine is dropping globally. Brilliant. I don't know why, but that's fantastic. Give me more.
Winning on a Tuesday. Louise Rowe, thank you so much for coming in. What
Thanks
a treat.
Thanks for having
thank
me.
You.
Come back soon.
I adore
thanks.
You guys.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening to Made by Mamas this week. If you did like it, or if you didn't, you just can pretend. But if you could rate, review and subscribe, that would be fantastic. It really helps get the word out there. We want as many parents as possible to listen to this podcast. And so by doing a little review, that really, really helps us. So you can drop us a message at Made by Mamas on Instagram or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. See you next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.